Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Off and rolling midweek, night one of the Grizzlies season. We'll carry that game, by the way, Grizzlies-Pelicans right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll be out a little bit early. Pre-game will be at 6:30. Tip, of course, at 7 o'clock at FedEx Forum. Get down there if you can. But if you can't, watch from home and see what the Grizzlies are able to do. We do have the announcement already off the top. I know Shams Charania. It feels like he's late to the news and everybody else is catching up, but John Morant will play. He had the ankle issue, but Shams is acting like that's brand new news. It's not new news. We learned that about, what, a week ago, George? About a week ago?
We've known.
Yeah, but
we have known this info.
It is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at _Kuhn71. You already heard his voice, but that would be one King George, George Ruggiero, on X at King George 94, producing the show today. King, how you doing, brother?
We're good. We're rocking and rolling. We're ready. We've got a big show today.
Yeah, we do have a massive show. 2.5 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. And we're going to have the mayor on today. How about it, Mayor Paul Young? 65th? I think I have that right. 65th mayor of Memphis. He will be in studio today. And we have a lot to discuss. And the timing is pretty good. First night of the Grizzlies season, and we know one of the big things that he has tried to get done that hasn't quite gotten over the finish line is a renewed lease for the Memphis Grizzlies at FedEx Forum, all the renovations they need. They need certain assurances. We'll try to break that down with the mayor here at about 4:25. So we'll have a little bit of a shorter first segment with overreaction, not an overreaction. Then we will hop in with the mayor. He will be right here in studio talking with me. 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show. Per normal, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And then 6 o'clock, Colton Denning. Talk some college football. And Colton's funny. He's a great guest to have. It is wild, though, in my conversations off the air with him. He does his hot seat rankings. That's one of his biggest, you know, weekly column stories he puts out on Two Stripe CPD. Go subscribe, by the way. He's the owner of Two Stripe CPD. But he does his hot seat rankings. I don't think he had any inkling that this coaching carousel was going to be as nuts as it is already. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
It's insane. And like thinking of the coaches that could be out there in the open market here relatively soon. Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. We know what he did at Cincinnati. It just has not translated to the Big Ten in Wisconsin. Doesn't have a quarterback. Offense is horrible. This past weekend, did you get to see any of that Ohio State-Wisconsin game?
No.
Horrible.
I'm glad I didn't.
They got outgained by 350 plus yards.
Ugh.
And
that's just
Julian Sand threw for 394. This is a defensive coach. I mean, he was a defensive coordinator there at Ohio State before he went to Cincinnati, and it's just been absolutely awful for him.
Correct me if I'm wrong on Wisconsin and Fickell's offense. Haven't they gotten outscored like 65-0 over their last handful of games?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, 100%. But there's Luke Fickell. We have Mike Norvell potentially getting the hook here soon. And then
that price tag though on that that we saw from all three is pretty,
it's $100 million all in, but I don't think Florida State is a especially with where they're at as a program, where they want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just fresh off that lawsuit with the ACC because they wanted out of the grant of rights and they wanted to get to a bigger conference, SEC, Big Ten, whatever it is. I don't think they're in a spot where they want to sit around and watch more of this. That's nine straight ACC losses. The one they took on the road, Palo Alto, late last Saturday, that was the ninth straight ACC loss.
You could have just ended that with saying they lost to Stanford.
Yeah. The ending still, though, does this. The ending is still wild. The fact that the ACC replay booth, the officials there standing by in the ACC replay center had technical difficulties, so they couldn't review it. That was just absolutely wild. I thought Gavin Sawchuk was in there. You know, as I talked about this yesterday, as much as the job that Mike has done at Florida State has been nasty and it's been bad and he hasn't held up his end of the bargain, he has had some strokes of bad luck.
Yeah.
Not getting into the playoff a couple of years ago at 13-0?
It was 13-0.
Nasty. And then since then, it's just been a complete nosedive. Complete nosedive. And you thought it was going to change with that win against Bama to start the year, but no. That's not how that that turned itself out. And then Hugh Freeze, I want him to be fired. I know that the guy that I just followed into the studio, Jeffrey Wright, he's got plenty to say about old Hugh. But Auburn has started 0-4 in conference for the third straight season. First time in program history that's ever happened. Like, that should be grounds enough to fire the guy, right? Like,
I really want to hit the applause button.
And they haven't scored 20 points in any of their SEC games.
That's the crazy part.
They will this weekend against Arkansas, but Arkansas is actually favored by 1.5 going
into
this
weekend.
I was about
to say, but how many points? Well, that's even the crazy part. The offense, his side of the ball has been terrible. The defense under DJ Durkin,
solid. Solid.
It's been pretty good.
Yeah, but Hugh, you were supposed to be the offensive guru, brother.
And
I'm tired of him trashing his quarterbacks that he handpicks every offseason. For God's, I mean, you had plenty of choices. You have plenty of choices at Auburn with the amount of money you get from Yellowwood and
they literally,
all those different people behind the scenes. You could get any quarterback you wanted. You picked Peyton Thorne and Jackson Arnold.
They literally also have a true, like, top recruit, 5-star, just sitting, just chilling, that was, like, committed to, like, 3 different super high-end programs and decided to go with Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, so there's that.
Sorry,
Deuce Knight. There is that. But before we get to overreaction, not an overreaction, I want to go to the college baseball coaching carousel, coaching ranks, because very interesting. I talked about it to end the show yesterday, but Tony Vitello, Tennessee's head coach, had been offered the San Francisco Giants job in Major League Baseball. And he said, I needed 24 to 72 hours to figure this out. But yesterday you had a bunch of Tennessee fans going in for the false scrimmage that Tony Vitello had put together for his team. They're trying to chant all the Vol fans, we love you, Tony. Stay, Tony. And I get why they want him to stay. Won the College World Series in 2024. And when you look at sort of just what he's been able to accomplish in that seat, it is unbelievable. That was not a very healthy baseball program that he took over. And once he took over, 52 players drafted, 10 first-round picks, 341 wins, 2 SEC regular season titles, 2 SEC tournament titles, 5 regional championships, 3 College World Series berths, and, of course, the 1 national title. But we did learn today, George, he's off. He's off to San Fran, pen to paper. He is getting a nice little pay bump, and he will be headed to San Fran to coach the San Francisco Giants. This is an interesting story, if for no other reason. This is the first real notable hire that a Major League Baseball team has made from the college ranks. We have not seen this. This is not a normal step to go from college baseball to the major leagues. And I think my one take, and we can get to whether it'll work or not in just a moment. I think I have some takes there. But my one take about this is a seminal moment for college baseball coaches that eventually may want to take that step. If Tony Vitello falls flat on his face, you're not going to see this really done much in the future. But if it is successful, which we can discuss, this may be a pipeline. This may be the start of something for college baseball coaches who want to get to that level. But Tony Vitello is off, and Tennessee's going to have to find a new coach. I believe in our guy Danny White there. He's done a good job at hiring coaches.
Great job.
And they are one of the few schools in the country that have sort of been the jack of all trades with all of their revenue producing sports. You know, done good in basketball with Rick Barnes, baseball, of course, with Tony Vitello, and then with football, seeing what Josh Heupel's been able to do, even though the doubt was crept in very heavily at the beginning of that whole saga, and how that hire was made was not great. It's been great for them. College football playoff berth last year, pretty consistently up there, 9-plus wins. But that's the one thing that I am paying attention to. If Tony Vitello has success, you could see Major League Baseball teams dip back into the college coaching game again going into the future.
The biggest thing there, which I do think this is a huge pivotal moment for the relationship between Major League Baseball and college baseball, as opposed to it just being, okay, we're going to end up drafting a lot of your high school recruits and they're just not going to go to your school. But the biggest thing is that it has to work. It has to work for San Francisco and Tony Vitello. And I feel like that's a bigger question mark than people are giving a lot of credence to.
Weirdly enough, I know that Vol fans have a soft spot in their heart for Tony Vitello. I think that this has the potential to be a disaster. Has the potential. Now, it could go well, too, because he is a developmental guy. He's done a good job at Tennessee at developing players. 52 players drafted, 10 first-round picks. I understand that part of it. But largely, when you get into the major leagues, a lot of other people around you in your organization handle the development. You're not really the one hands-on with your players in developing them. And obviously, you can't necessarily hand-pick these guys. You have a GM that goes over your head. Maybe he talks to you and discusses, okay, do we want this guy? Who do we want to prioritize in their development? You can have those conversations, but it's a lot different than the college game. But I think the one thing I look at with Tony V, the way he coaches, his disposition.
Yeah. Yep.
I know we have this conversation constantly in, like, football. If you're going from the NFL to college, or you're going from the college ranks to the NFL, like, how is that going to mesh with professionals as opposed to student athletes? But I think that's the biggest question I have about Tony V. His style of coaching, very hands-on, he'll get after you. How is that going to work at the major league level? Or is he going to pivot and sort of, you know, get away from what made him great at Tennessee in that regard? Because that's something I'm going to be paying attention to very closely.
That's the biggest part of this for me. Is he going to be able to be a chameleon? Is he going to be able to change his overall attitude, demeanor, all that? Because it's not just the relationship with the players. It's the relationship with players, fellow coaches, opposing coaches, umpires, the whole nine yards. This goes well beyond just the way that he acts to his own team. It's his overall...
Media, too.
Media is huge.
That's probably the... Weirdly enough, I feel like that's one of the biggest hurdles.
Why do I feel like he and Ken Rosenthal might not get along on the sideline?
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
His mic'd up moments might, you know, get a little wild. Yeah. So how that works out in the major leagues will be very interesting to see.
Now, it is a Wednesday, and we are going to get to the mayor here very shortly, but we do need to hop into sort of an NBA opening night special version of Overreaction, Not an Overreaction. What we got, George?
All right, our first one here. NBC's return to the NBA coverage was an overwhelming success. Overreaction or not?
Not an overreaction, okay? I enjoyed every bit of it. I thought it was about the game. Now, ESPN's going to be out there tonight covering games, and we're going to see Inside the NBA coming from TNT to go to ESPN, 6 o'clock start time. I'm very interested to see how that looks. But I thought the NBC nailed it. NBC absolutely nailed it. Round Ball Rock, everybody loves the intro music, but I'm tired of hearing about it. I thought their you know, focus was good. They talked about the games. They talked about the game in general. Michael Jordan segment, I don't know what to think about it, but we don't hear from Michael Jordan very often. I thought it was going to be sort of like a week-by-week thing where Mike Tirico sits down with him. It looks like they did this all in one take, and they're just going to take excerpts
snippets
from it every single week.
Yeah.
But it's always, to be honest with you, it's nice to hear from Michael Jordan. We don't hear from him all that often. But they did the player intros, which was nice. They piped in crowd noise. I thought they stayed focused pre-halftime and post-game. I thought Noah Eagle is the man. I thought he was phenomenal. Mike Tirico getting back to his roots as an NBA play-by-play guy, phenomenal. I think they have a good crew. My one concern going forward for them, and this is like when we talk about listing concerns, this is is bottom rung. But I thought opening night was more about the nostalgia for what the NBA on NBC was in the 90s. And as the season goes along, that nostalgia play, you can't do that every night. So how do they morph that? How do they move forward after opening night? Because it was new, you feel that nostalgia, but you're going to have to move past that eventually because this is an every night thing for them. An every week thing for them, I should say.
Overall coverage, I think, was great. I think all of both of their crews really were phenomenal for both commentary, play-by-play analysis. Everything was great. Like we talked about this earlier, the biggest thing is going to see how does this last? How does this go on throughout the course of a season? Is this just essentially a one-hit wonder? I don't think it will be. I think they did a really good job in their hires, in their choices. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
A hell of a first game.
Oh,
125-124, Thunder get over top at home in two overtimes on ring night with Kevin Durant in the audience there watching the Oklahoma City Thunder get their rings. And I thought they handled that beautifully.
That was awesome. By the way, Şengün.
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Şengün.
I know people get the way that game ended and Kevin Durant – the Rockets have a lead. Kevin Durant fouls SGA. I know that's annoying to folks. It was hardcore, absolute foul, and it was very brilliant by SGA to go draw that foul in that situation. He realized he wasn't going to get space. He wasn't going to be able to get downhill, and he baited the hell out of Kevin Durant, so he earned that. Alperen Şengün, though, 39-11-7, 12-24 from the field, 5-8 from three, got to the free throw line 11 times, converted 10 of them. He was all over the place. He was so good last night. And, like, he's sort of doing his Jokic impression as good as well as he can. And I think, you know, you mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about it, but that starting lineup's a little bit wonky. You don't have, like, a main distributor. But Alperen Şengün, it seems like that's the plan from Ime Udoka. Get the ball into his hands, see what plays he can make. Sort of the Jokic route of things. I don't think he'll have as good of a night as he did last night every night of the season. But he's going to put up a lot of stats and look for him on maybe potentially first-team All-NBA, second-team All-NBA, because I think he is going to be highly productive. Not that he hasn't already been, but this year it feels like he's stepping into a new role that he's ready for.
Moving on, the Grizzlies' goal for the 25-26 season should still be to make a run in the Western Conference playoffs. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Sidebar, one of my other takes from that game.
Yeah.
Reed Sheppard.
Not it.
No.
Not it.
I thought he was a net negative out there. He was getting just picked on down
his
the stretch
defense
by OKC.
Is awful.
Yeah. I mean, it was – I don't want to go full like this was the Cavs last year in the playoffs going after Tyler Hero, but it felt like that at moments. The Thunder were just seeking him out every single time down the floor. He's not sizable, doesn't have the athleticism to go with it. That's going to be a problem for the Rockets. But he's going to have to play. Like, they have no real choice. Good outside shooter, can distribute a little bit. But for this, Grizzlies' goal for the 2025-26 season should still be to make a run in the Western Conference playoffs? That's an overreaction to me, brother. No. You moved off of Desmond Bain. The expectations need to go down. You have a bunch of young guys that you need to bring along. I think the goals need to pivot. The goals need to be pointed in different directions, George. I think the biggest goal, and I'm tired of beating people over the head with it, but it bears repeating, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. staying on the floor for an extended period of time together. The most games that they ever played with each other in a single season, they won 56 games and were second in the West. Like, that's the key to the Grizzlies' future success. So, how often can Ja be on the floor? How often can Jaren be on the floor? How often can they play together and share the floor together? That's what could get us to success. If they meet that 65 requirement, game requirement, both of them, I feel good about where this team is headed. Also, figure out something on the wing. Cedric Coward, Jalen Wells, can they grow into consistent starters, consistent stars in their role for this team? That's something I'm paying attention to. Zach Edey, you're going to waste the first 20 games of the year. But down the stretch of the season, last 60 games, if that's what all he can, you know, suit up for, can he, you know, salvage a season out of this year with everything that's happened with his injury and the ankle laxity off the floor? So I think we need to pivot the goals for this team. I still think they should be somewhere around the play-in. I think they should be a playoff team. Like, that's a goal that you still have in mind. But I think that should be on the back burner. I want to see what this team looks like together. Can Ja and Jaren play the requisite amount of games for us to feel good about the future? Can Zach Edey save himself this season and grow? And the wing, are they finally going to find some answers? We've been looking for answers forever. So I think that's where my goals for this season point to, over making a run in the Western Conference playoff picture, because I think there are teams that are naturally better than them, more experienced, have the championship DNA that they do not possess at this moment.
I think that's the biggest thing here, too, is the West is so deep. If this team was in the Eastern Conference, obviously you could be making a very different, you know, conversation point on this. But the West is so deep. There are so many teams that are built to win right now, exceptionally talented, some that are even younger that have a lot of, you know, a very high level of talent, looking really at OKC and the Spurs. When I talk about that mix of youth and talent, the Grizzlies right now, this has to be a season almost where you hold everything together. Everything stays, I don't want to say exactly.
See if
in
you can
place.
Get some good injury luck too.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's every year, right?
Right.
Every year.
I hear that.
But I don't think the biggest goal, the main goal should be,
yes,
we have to make a Western Conference Finals.
Yes. Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. Know what another goal is?
What's that?
Tonight's opening night for the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
I want assurances going into the future that they're going to have more opening nights, that they're going to have 25, 30 more opening nights in the city of Memphis. And I know somebody who may have the answers on that, that may be able to enlighten us on what's going to happen long-term with the Memphis Grizzlies, with a lease not being signed as of right now. And that would be 65th mayor of Memphis, Paul Young. He joins next, so stick around for that. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we have a treat in studio today. It's the 65th mayor of Memphis, Mayor Paul A. Young. On the X account, the everything app at Mayor Paul Young. Yes, Mayor Young, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to be here with you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having
excited
me.
To have you. Thanks for coming on down and in studio.
In
I know
studio.
I know you're a busy
color.
Guy.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
you're a busy
had to make
guy.
Sure I barely made it, but I made it.
Yeah, and the timing is phenomenal. We have night one of the Grizzlies. What are your expectations for the team this year?
Oh, I think we're going to be good. I think we got a good team. As long as we stay healthy, I think we can go deep. I think this is the year for us, and we keep Ja and Jaren on the court at the same time, and I think we can beat anybody.
Well,
at
that
point,
I think that's the main point. You want my job?
Nah, you got. You
I don't
do
know
your
if I don't
well.
Know if I want to switch
you
jobs.
Do it very well. You do it very well. Nah, but I mean, I think that is the key. That's the formula. Is keeping both of them playing.
Yep.
I think GG's coming along. I think we're gonna see him rise. Jalen is like my favorite player.
Yep.
Jalen Wells. I think he's a dog. He has that heart that I think we need to really push us to the next level.
Yeah, we like defense in this.
Yeah,
city.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be at the game tonight, I take it?
I will go. I am definitely going to the game. Gonna make sure we pick up the fam and take the whole family.
All right, now I know you're sort of limited on what exactly you can say about it, right? But this is we have opening night, and I think you know a lot of my listening audience wants assurances and sort of understanding on how we get 25, 30
yeah.
more opening
yeah,
nights
yeah, yeah.
With that long-term lease.
We definitely want 25 more, and I can tell all of the listeners that we're working very, very hard to get a new lease, and we're having great conversations with the Grizz. I mean, obviously, we haven't signed on the dotted line yet, but
right.
I have all confidence that we'll get there. All parties working in good faith, and, you know, we're moving forward with designs and things of that nature for the renovations of the stadium. So I definitely feel like we're going to get there.
Yep. Now, listen, the Grizzlies seem to want what we all want,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Assurances about the entertainment and the safety of downtown, of Beale, of the FedEx Forum. And something I think we have wondered about for a while, at least in these seats and a lot of the city of Memphis Grizzlies fans, is what are the potential benchmarks that have been discussed behind the scenes that need to be met to ultimately get pen to paper, right? Because that's something that I think people are a little bit confused about at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we have the specific benchmarks outlined yet. Those are things that we talk about, like what are the indicators of success that we want to see for our community. But we're all working towards it. And I think the things that the Grizzlies want are the things that we want. We want a vibrant downtown. We want a safe downtown. And so we've been working towards those things. And thankfully, we're making good progress. The numbers with regards to safety across the city have been trending in the right direction. 13% reduction overall last year, 19% reduction in violent crime last year, 29% reduction in homicides last year, 37% reduction in motor vehicle thefts last year. And if you look at 2025, we're on pace to do better than that.
Right.
And so I feel really good about where we're headed. And I know people are anxious to get there, but I think we're definitely moving in the right direction with regards to public safety.
Now, it's been an interesting topic. It's polarizing. It's just how it is, right? Obviously, just the topic in general, but the National Guard is in town, Memphis Safe Task Force. And, you know, what are your thoughts and feelings about their presence in the city, in downtown? I saw, you know, a bunch of National Guard members down there for the Ballin' on Beale.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been reported on by my good friend Jeff Calkins, who does the morning show over here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what are your sort of feelings about what downtown looks like with that National Guard presence at this
Well,
moment?
You know, when it happened, I made my feelings clear. Like, this is not the way that I believe we should move towards public safety. However, it was going to happen. The governor and the president made a decision. And so my goal as mayor is to make sure that we lead through this moment and we work with the National Guard to determine what it's going to look like. And thankfully, they have someone who is over the Tennessee National Guard, their major general. Warner Ross is a guy from Bolivar, Tennessee. I've had a lot of conversations with him. Real cool dude. We talked about how they show up. Like, we don't necessarily want you coming in tanks and invoking the images that we saw in 1968. And he's like, cool, we'll show up in vans. We asked them not to come with the big guns and walking around with those because it's very intimidating and giving a military feel. So now they have sidearms. We asked them, can they help us with event traffic and things of that nature? And they've been very accommodating. And their role is not like I thought on the front end. I thought that they were coming and doing more law enforcement, but what they are here doing is really being support to law enforcement. So their presence actually frees up our officers to do more law enforcement work. And so I think some of the concerns that I had and many others have had about their presence, I think have been offset by their willingness to partner with us. And that comes directly from me being in the room and being able to have those conversations with them.
So you've heard good things from the police force that's already down there in downtown doing what they need to do, doing their rounds. You've heard positive things from them about the National Guard's presence, or how have those conversations?
Yeah, definitely. They've talked about how they have, because our office, we have an officer with each group of National Guardsmen. So because those folks aren't from Memphis, so you have someone from the Memphis Police Department that's with them and able to show them around and tell them where things are. So that has been good. And then the other part of the Memphis Safe Task Force that a lot of people had not really thought about, including myself, was all of the other resources that come along with it. There's 13 federal agencies that are here and over 500 federal agents. And so those are the ones that have been partnered with Tennessee Highway Patrol, and we've seen a lot of traffic stops. One of the things that we've been working to do is get them to do less traffic stops and more focus on the violent crime. And I know you can capture some through traffic stops, but we want help with our homicides, with our multi-agency gang unit, with organized crime, with our fugitive task force. And so they are becoming more embedded with those initiatives, which I think is really going to help us target the individuals that truly are terrorizing our neighborhoods and our communities.
Yeah, being able to focus on the main thing.
Getting the ones who really are responsible for violent crime in our city.
All right, now the University of Memphis and the importance to the city can't be overstated.
Absolutely.
And, obviously my alma mater, so yes. I have to get some questions in there. Yeah.
I went to grad school of U of M.
Absolutely.
So.
Now,
go Tigers.
Curious about Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. University of Memphis took over Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium pretty recently. How do you feel about the U of M having their hands on the stadium? And if I remember correctly, this was not a unanimous, unquestioned decision by any stretch of the imagination. So how do you feel?
Yeah,
about it?
I feel very good about it. University of Memphis has been a good partner. I talked to AD Ed Scott, man, on a very, very regular basis. He's a great dude, a great addition to the university, and we've had a great partnership. They've been making the renovations to the stadium. It's moving forward relatively quickly. I think they'll be done by the beginning of next season or so, somewhere along that timeline. So it's great. We're going to have an upgraded stadium. We've been able to bring private capital to help do it, as well as dollars from the state. And the University of Memphis has made that possible. So that transfer allowed us to do something that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah, and there's been growth from sports, obviously, but the university in general in the past decade.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I first got on campus, looking at the growth, just, you know, apartment buildings, student housing around the university, it's absolutely insane. They now have, I mean, I had to, you know, risk my life crossing the train tracks. But now we have a bridge going over, so that's nice to see all the development over there. But, you know, I think all of this goes into, at least on the sports side, the continued effort to get sports in this athletic department into a better conference. What do you think about where the University of Memphis is placed and if that will happen at all?
I root for them to be able to get into a stronger conference, but I think that the University of Memphis has made the best of being in the conference that they're in. I mean, they are circled on everybody's schedule in football and basketball and all the other sports as well. And so I think the University of Memphis has done an outstanding job, and sports is an economic development tool. It's a means for us as a city to be able to bring more people into our community. And when you bring people into the city, those are dollars. Those are restaurateurs. They help our restaurants, our hotels, and we want more of that. And so we want to continue to support the U of M, and we want them to be successful.
All right. Now, there are plans for updates at AutoZone Park. To ensure the Redbirds stay long term. What can you tell me about AutoZone Park and the Redbirds' future in Memphis?
Yeah, I can say that we have a team that's working with the Redbirds to really outline and catalog exactly what renovations need to take place in the stadium to make sure that we keep it up to Major League Baseball standards. And we want to make sure that we're doing that efficiently, and I think that we will be able to do it. And we're going to use our capital funds from the city to be able to do it. We got to program it year by year, so it won't be one big expenditure of dollars. But over time, we want to make sure that we're continuing to invest in it to get it up to where it needs to be.
All right. Now, last thing for Mayor Paul Young right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Stephen A. Smith, we know about what happened earlier this offseason. Yeah. I spent a week on the show trying to cut through the nonsense, what he had to say. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, what people view from the outside becomes their reality. Right. But when you step in the city of Memphis and you feel the love and you feel the pageantry around the city of Memphis and how much pride people take in being from Memphis, it's a totally different conversation. And, you know, that's sort of the take, the gist of the take.
Exactly.
But you did reach out to him
via social media to see if he wants to make it to the city.
I
respect Stephen A. I mean, he's done well in his industry, but I just thought it was out of bounds to talk about a city that you really haven't spent a lot of time in. And Memphis is an amazing place with amazing people. And I think that it's important that he understands the power of his words on our market.
Yeah.
And we definitely extended the invitation. I know that our teams have talked. We don't have any dates scheduled for him to be here, but I'm sure that he'll come for a game or come in town for something, and we'll get to have that conversation. But definitely looking forward to the dialogue, because we got to defend Memphis at all costs. And I want him to come and leave here a believer, leave here advocating for the city instead of talking down on our city.
Yeah, you know, it's just – I think too many people in this day and age, whether it's here, whether it's out in the state of California or whatever it is, mm-hmm. if you haven't been there, I feel like you need to you need to calm down all of the words and the talk and the conversations you have about this place, because it's not near as bad as you try to paint it.
It's not as bad, and once he comes, you know, I think he'll leave an ambassador. I think he'll be talking about the good of Memphis, and we need more people out there pushing what's right about our city.
Yep, 100%. Well, Mayor Young, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. This
have
was fun.
Have fun at the Grizzlies game.
I will. Yes, I will. Sir. Look forward to coming back.
Yes, sir. He is the 65th mayor of Memphis. Mayor Paul A. Young on X at Mayor Paul Young. If you need to go follow him on X, the Everything app. But let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll be back with more of the Gabe Kuhn Show next. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Really appreciate 65th mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, joining in studio. Great stuff. We will have the full interview posted up, 929ESPN.com here very, very shortly in the podcast area, featured audio area, if you want to check that out. And I probably should have kept him in studio, George, to talk about my NFL power ranking, see if he agreed with me or disagreed with me. What do you think?
I think that would have been a great idea.
Yeah, that would have been a phenomenal idea. Clearly, Ball knower.
Oh, I was going to say, clearly, from the start of the interview, right. even before a little that was Ball.
Well, listen, he knows the truth of the matter is, he hit the nail on the head. Ask about the Grizzlies. He says he feels like they're in a decent spot with John Jaren on the floor, but he has to see them stay on the floor. That's the thing. That's
Preach.
It. Continue. Like, just you hit it on the head. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what we need this year. But of course,
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
Right? Like, we'll see.
Always a wait and see.
But we do have my NFL power rankings. To get to, obviously, this is post week 7 coming up tomorrow night. Vikings at Chargers. That's gonna be a very interesting game to keep an eye on. Vikings Chargers at least are favored by 3.5. But the Vikings have JJ McCarthy almost back healthy, it feels like. But Kevin O'Connell put him through a workout, said he may be good for Sunday, but he ain't gonna be good for Thursday. So he's gonna run him out there, Carson Wentz, for another week. They went through a workout though with JJ McCarthy. I don't know if JJ McCarthy should get his job back. He was awful before he got injured, and Carson Wentz has been better. He's not great.
No, but
he can
JJ
execute
was...
most weeks in the Kevin O'Connell system.
JJ was that. Rough. That was a rough watch.
But let's go ahead and get to the post week 7 NFL power rankings for the Gabe Kuhn Show. All right, this one's tough for me, but I have to grant benefit of the doubt. Okay. Still a good run defense, still one of the best offenses in the NFL, even though on Monday night they got absolutely clobbered, and it was not particularly close. It was an ugly game for them against a team that will be higher than them on the power rankings this week for the Gabe Kuhn Show, but I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're sitting there at 5-2. They're in the number 3 spot in the NFC playoff picture at this moment. I still believe very heavily in Baker Mayfield and what he's done so far this year. But the problem you're running into with the Bucs at this moment, Mike Evans is going to be out for at least 8 weeks. That's the most recent report because of his broken collarbone. Looks like he got surgery today to repair that. So that's something that's been hurting them. Bucky Irving has been out. Chris Godwin has been out. So, like, his main targets have been his tight end, Kate Otten, Tez Johnson, who's a really young wide receiver. I mean, he's trying to, Baker Mayfield, bridge the gap, get by with the lack of talent around him at this moment, and he did a good job until he ran into the buzzsaw that is the Detroit Lions. But I have to give the benefit of the doubt to the Bucs because they have played really well in the early going of the season, and I still believe in Baker Mayfield and what he's done so far.
Yeah, their injuries have been absolutely brutal, and they even go back to the offseason. I mean, this receiving core was already missing Jalen McMillan, who had an awesome rookie season last year. I mean, I would just imagine how much better it would look if it was McMillan, Ibuka, and whoever else, Mike Evans, you know, when healthy, Bucky Irving. This team could be a lot better, but they are just brutalized by injuries right now.
I'm going to go with the team who's actually technically number 1 in the NFC right now. If the season ended today, they would have the 1 seed. Now, season does not end today, but I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. They're 4-1-1, only one loss in the season so far this year. I'm not a big buyer into them yet. Jordan Love has yet to really wow me so far this year. He's made a few mistakes with the football that I don't like. They haven't run the ball very well. That's something that I didn't really expect. They've had a couple of injuries on the offensive line, but they should be able to run the ball a whole lot better. Josh Jacobs coming off what was nearly a career year last year. I expect him to get around back into form here relatively soon. They need to get the ball to Matthew Golden more. I need to see Matthew Golden, their first-round pick, get involved. Defensively as well, I feel like they have the requisite pieces, but they're sort of a right outside the top 10 type defense. And they play close games against teams that they shouldn't play close games against. We learned that the Commanders game earlier in the season probably shouldn't have been that close. Commanders are not a very good team. They lost to the Browns. That's their one loss. Tied with the Cowboys. Gave up 40 points. Don't really know how that jives. Against the Bengals, I know it was Flacco's first start, and Flacco's been solid for them, but gave up 18 points. Still a really close game there until they pulled away late. And then they went to Arizona in a game against Jacoby Brissett and only won by 4. And they had to pull that one out late by scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter. So I think they have all the pieces to be a legitimate title threat, a legitimate Super Bowl threat, NFC championship threat in that NFC playoff picture. But I just haven't seen what I need to see. Now, something that is a positive development, I don't know if you saw this, but against the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, Micah Parsons, he
woke up a little
he
bit.
He woke up 3 sacks in that game. But one thing about his career that I find interesting is it feels like he has those peak sack games, then he'll go a couple of games without one. But those 3 sacks, they weren't fluky. He's going to add a lot to that defense as the season goes along. I still feel like he's you know, trying to understand what Jeff Heffley wants him to do. They're trying to get him involved a little bit more. But we'll see how it all plays out. I think they have the pieces. They just need to play better in the end of the day. I wanted to put them higher, but they're at 4-3. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're back. I have no reason to believe that they're not back. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they're back because they beat the Raiders 31-0. Raiders are awful, okay? The Chiefs scored 31 points, won 31-0, and the
Gardner Minshew got
the
snaps.
Raiders only had 29 offensive snaps.
Gardner Minshew got snaps in that game.
Yes, so there is that. But they did beat the Lions a couple of weeks ago, 30-17, and it was pretty dominant. And Rashee Rice coming back, he had the 30% target rate. So looks like he's going to be a target eater and a helper for Patrick Mahomes. Xavier Worthy has continued to be pretty solid. Their run game starting to not awesome. Their offensive line isn't awesome. And they still, like, the Josh Simmons thing is so strange to me. I don't know what's going on with that. I hope Josh is okay.
Yeah.
But their run game's starting to get better slowly but surely. Defense definitely headed in the right direction. But in the end of the day, I think for the rest of the year, unless there's some dramatic injury, it's going to be hard for me to leave the Chiefs out of this top five because I know they have championship DNA. And I look around the rest of the AFC playoff picture right now, and I just don't really see anybody I fully trust, even though I'm going to list one at number one. Like, the Colts are 6-1. Do we really fully buy into them come playoff time? I don't know yet. We will sit around and see. The Patriots are number 2. Broncos at number 3. Steelers at number 4. Bills, they're 4-2, sure, but the record of those 4 wins of the teams that they beat, not very good. They haven't really beat anybody of note. Chargers are still injured, trying to figure some things out. Jags, yeah, they beat the Chiefs, but are we really going to act like that's some normality that's going to hold the rest of the season? The Chiefs have championship DNA. They have a championship coach in Andy Reid. They have the best big game coordinator in NFL history in Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive side of the ball. You're just going to be hard-pressed to find me leaving them outside of the top 5 after what I've seen the last 2 weeks. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. Now, some people will say, well, you just said the Chiefs beat the Lions last week. Well, yeah, but at the same time, Lions sit there at 5-2, and the Lions, to me, for my money, based on how they have been playing, are the best team in the NFC. Yes, that's over top of the Eagles. I'm not even listing the Eagles this week. Even though they come off a really good game where Jalen Hurts threw for 320 and did all that, their defense is lagging behind. I'm not trusting in them right now. So I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. Jahmyr Gibbs coming off a 136-yard performance. He's so damn good. They still have David Montgomery right there. I think Jameson Williams is a guy, even when he's not making plays, he frees some things up for Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and all of their playmakers on the outside. Their defense is playing some decent football. What they
what they were able to do to the Buccaneers, I have a lot of respect for them. They just played with a force that I hadn't seen them play with so far this year. Their secondary held up, and I know that the Bucs had injuries, but I believe in the Lions. Lions are my number two team. I'm sorry. You can say what you want about trusting them long term, and I will hear it.
No need to apologize.
But the Colts, they're the number one team in the NFL until proven otherwise. I don't know how you would list any other team in the spot. They have 26 touchdowns so far this year, only 12 punts. They're running the ball at will. Jonathan Taylor has nearly 700 yards through seven games, 697 yards. They have some pass catchers on the outside that are really showing up. Tyler Warren, in his rookie year, is doing the Brock Bowers impression. 439 yards, 3 touchdowns through these 7 games. Great target and a great blocker. Got to give him credit for that. I think that, like, down ballot a little bit, Michael Pittman, really good receiver. Alec Pierce, good wide receiver. Josh Downs can give you some nice catches every once in a while. Daniel Jones is playing within himself, and he's playing comfortably. He can use his legs, and I don't even think they've really used his legs to the full, you know, ability. Because when you have a guy like Jonathan Taylor in your backfield, the amount of focus you have to have on that guy can take focus off that quarterback you have in the backfield who has really good legs, who can run the football. I want to see them delve into that a little bit more. He only has 83 yards so far this year, had a couple of quarterback sneaks at the goal line. He has 4 touchdowns rushing. But I want to see them get Daniel Jones' legs involved a little bit more going forward, and I think they'll be all the better for it. And then defensively, I just think they have a solid defense through and through. I don't think they're, you know, world-beating. I don't think they can stop any one, you know, the best offenses in the National Football League, but they're always going to be very, very competitive on that side of the ball. And they've been competitive on that side of the ball for going on the last, what, 5-6 years. They just haven't had the quarterback to go with it since Andrew Luck retired. But do you have any problems? Let's go back through them. Bucks at 5, Packers at 4, Chiefs at 3, Lions at 2, 1 Colts. The only problem I even have with myself is leaving the Eagles out, but I just want to
– Yeah.
I just want to see more. I want to see more. They're my first team left out this week.
I don't have any problems with the top 5. I do agree that the AFC should be left out of a lot of this. Sneaky one. This might just be a dark horse for me, but I'm really liking just how well-rounded Seattle's been playing.
Yes, that's true. And
their defense has been...
And Sam Darnold and Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
That duo has been...
Awesome.
Ridiculous.
Phenomenal.
And if we want to talk about a guy who's really playing within himself, Sam Darnold has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in National Football League this year.
And this will go to why I left the Eagles out this week, something that I have been paying attention to that I've wanted to see from the best teams in the National Football League, and the Chiefs have started to do it. I want to see your point differential, and I want to see how good you are at laying it on other teams and not taking your foot off the gas. Colts number one.
Yeah.
In point differential, Lions number two. Colts number one in my power rankings, Lions number two. That's just the thing with the Eagles is you're so supremely talented. You have so many good players. Act like it. Play like it.
Yeah.
I know that you finally threw the ball really well, but Saquon Barkley, in not one game so far this year, has he gone for over 100 rushing yards. Like, that's wow. – there's no – And also, when you just dig into, like, the per-game stats, whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing that the Eagles do well yet. Yet. And I'm saying yet, right?
Well, like you just said, they're supremely talented. They have pieces at every position.
They're not near the top of the league in passing yards. We know that. They're not near the top of the league in rushing yards. They're bottom four still in offensive yards generated per game. Points per game, they're not that great. Defense, pass defense, middle of the pack. Rush defense, middle of the pack. Like, there's no particular statistical category that brings me in on the Eagles through 7 weeks. And through this amount of time, you should have something that you do well. And I know a lot of people haven't quite discussed this, but it has come into a little bit of question with Brandon Graham coming out of retirement to join the Eagles to be a pass rusher after Za'Darius Smith, who they signed not too long ago, retired after only getting 1.5 sacks. I think one of the biggest things they're missing, especially on the defensive side of the ball, their pass rush is awful. They're near the bottom of the league. And if you look at the last two seasons, especially last year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.